Welcome to a podcast about. God damn it.
We're already.
Starting off great. Y'all both have cocktail?
Yeah.
Of course.
Hers is water based.
No, it's just a splash of soda water.
This is
Hold up. Let me run and grab one real quick. I don't want to.
Yes.
Hold up to the party.
It's a party.
See, that has to be the dream job, working with alcohol, and it's always an excuse. Let me just make a beverage.
You know what? Let me promote real quick. Ooh.
Dang, who works at the bank? I'm trying to promote some money.
By having it.
All right. Somebody should just let me walk around
broke. You know what? Let me just hold that. And
all right.
You ready?
Let's get in here and see. Yeah. And then you guys are going to get a.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how we're going to roll today. And we'll get it. We'll touch on this while we go through the thing.
I like
this
that.
Our Kettle Botanical spritz. Ready to drink cans.
Ready to drink cans.
Summertime ready.
Summertime ready. They should be hitting ATL in Georgia really, really soon. Hopefully it'll be out here real soon too. So we got some sneak peeks for those who haven't seen it yet, but it's coming.
That's exciting. Ooh.
We got exclusives. All right, we're going to try this whole thing again.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Welcome to a podcast about nothing with V.
And A.D.
We have a very special cousin guest. Mr. John Peterson, marketing and branding expert. At his finest, he encompasses the lifestyle of just, he is the lifestyle.
That's what I'm telling you. She's been giving you your flowers while you here.
Yeah, I was sorry.
I appreciate it.
But tell the people who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Sure, no problem. Well, my name is Jonathan Peterson, and my current role is district manager for Kettle One Vodka. I handle DC and Maryland markets, and my focus is to help drive our business on premise, being restaurants, bars, etc., as well as off premise, being liquor stores. And I have been in the spirits/food beverage industry for a long time now. well over a decade. And have had the privilege to work with several major brands, including Kettle. And Kettle is partially owned by Diageo. So this is sort of my second stint with Diageo. I've worked with them prior. I used to work on Ciroc and De Leon. I've also worked for Pernod Ricard on Martell Cognac.
Ooh, I love Martell.
I've worked for Brown-Forman on their single malt. As a single malt scotch consultant, and I work for some cool independent brands. Everyone who knows me knows I love rum, and sort of my career on the supplier side started with Atlantico Rum. So been just an amazing journey to get to this point, and obviously met some amazing people like you all, and continue to grow these friendships and sort of collaborate and partner on several different projects and things over the years. So super thankful for that and happy to be here.
Thank you.
An extensive background. You don't even think, like, just thinking going to the store and picking up a bottle of alcohol, you don't think there's that much that goes into it.
Right.
It's so weird. It's really so interesting.
I never thought that until I met you, and that was back in the Atlantico Rum days, and he would come by the studio and drop off. But anytime we were doing anything, it was just literally just a phone call away. And he would come and not just come and drop off bottles. Like, he would come and participate you know, if we had something going on and we had artists that we wanted to, you know, you had to judge them so they could win something. Like, it was just, we really built like the relationship and the family, which is, I think, is so important with brands. And, you know, it has to be, it has to go together. It's not go ahead.
Reciprocal and mutually beneficial. But I think the most important part about those interactions is the consumer / brand engagement on both sides. I think it's important for consumers to learn about the brands that they are consuming and purchasing, as well as it's very important for brands to be able to connect with the consumer and sort of, you know, get an idea of how well they're doing in the market. But also it gives you a sense of where the trends are going. And that's how brands decide which direction they're going to pivot in and sort of, you know, what products they are going to release to the market and over the next, you know, upcoming years. So it's a very important interaction. And, you know, more importantly, though, because people, you never know where they're going to be at various stages and points in their life. Again, fundamentally building that relationship so that you can be on a podcast several years later, chopping it up.
Right, hats and props.
Right, right. So what made you go down this like road, like branding, marketing? How'd you get started?
Well, you know, for me, these types of roles, with the level of autonomy that they give you to work in the various markets, that we cover, that I cover, is, you know, to me, it's as close to being an entrepreneur and still having the security of, you know, a major company behind you, because, you know, bills have to get paid. And especially when we're in a time like a pandemic, having health insurance is paramount.
Yes.
So, you know, it's sort of, you know, that in between, that sort of best of both worlds, so to speak, as it relates to that. But in terms of just my journey, I mean, from early on as a kid, I knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and sort of go in an entrepreneurial direction. And like I said, this was sort of the next sort of step for me. Prior to being in the food and beverage industry, I was doing project management for a company called Medtronic. It's a medical company. They specialize in defibrillators and various other medical devices. But my focus was working on projects that dealt with their defibrillators. And so we had huge projects and rollouts to make sure there were defibrillators. You've probably seen them in airports so that people, you know, somebody all of a sudden has a heart attack, somebody's got to run and get that defibrillator and you know, revive them until the paramedics can arrive. And so I was doing that in Washington, D.C., before they moved everyone back out to their headquarters on the West Coast. And I was living in the northwest area of D.C., 14th Street, a couple of blocks up from U Street. And on my way to work and back from work, I used to pass this lounge on 14th Street called Gin. And I would go by there during the day, and it's so crazy when I look at it in hindsight, and just being younger and whatnot, and not really thinking about it, because I was obviously focused on going to work. But I would see a gentleman by the name of Chris, really good friend of mine now, and we've been friends ever since then. But I would go by there, and he would be in there sort of renovating this space. And again, like I said, I'd be going to work early, so I wasn't even really thinking about it. I would just see this guy in there. I'm like, man, this guy is really working and putting this place together. Like, where are the contractors? Where are the rest of the people?
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't even thinking that, you know, maybe they showed up later or maybe they showed up earlier or whatever. I just assumed he was. I was like, man, this guy's building this all by himself. So one day I stopped by there on my way from work and just was this like, because I was always curious about running a restaurant or a bar or a lounge. So I stopped in and I introduced myself to him. And I was pretty much like, you know, I don't know what I can help you with, but, you know, I'll come here and help you with whatever you need. Just, you know, let me know, give me a shout. And he kind of looked at me and was just like, you know, blew me off in a way, like, yeah, okay, strange.
You're crazy.
Young kid, yeah. Like, whatever. And so I didn't hear anything from him for like 2, maybe 3 weeks. And Chris will tell you, I'm always adding on like a week every time I tell the story. So, you know, in a few months, I might be saying I didn't hear from him in for two months. But anyway, when he finally called me, I went down there and they were swamped. And so, you know, I was just helping with just basic stuff, you know, helping bus tables. I think he was short staff, which is why he called me. And the relationship grew from there. And I got to learn a lot about, you know, running a bar, running a lounge. And it just so happened that a few months later, Medtronic wanted to move everyone from the East Coast back to their West Coast headquarters. And at the time for me, that wasn't really a move I was trying to make. So I accepted the severance package that they gave everyone who didn't want to make the move. And so, of course, at a crossroads, it was like, okay, well, what am I going to do now?
What's next?
Yeah, what's next? And so right about that same time, Chris's general manager had decided to go back to school. And up until that point, like I said, I've been helping him with various things, doing events, et cetera, primarily focused on helping him with events. And so when she left, he offered me the role as general manager, which, you know, increased my responsibility, but also threw me in sort of that fire of hands-on, mm-hmm. on-spot learning experience. And so I was able to build a relationship with our sales reps, the various suppliers, when it came to the brands. And at that time, a lot of the, quote, bar/lounge marketing, and even to a certain extent, obviously pre-COVID, now, which still sort of goes on, it was, you know, you have a lot of promo models come in, and everybody's at different levels, you know, but sometimes at that time, I felt that a lot of the promo models that they sent, all great people, but also weren't necessarily, you know, some of them weren't the most knowledgeable. And then more importantly, some of them didn't even consume the, you know, the brand that they were pushing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in my opinion, if you are not a consumer of certain products, it becomes very hard to push them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wanted to change that dynamic. And so,
you started drinking all the liquor. Like, just kidding.
Yeah, a little bit. Quality control.
Right, exactly.
You know, through the sales reps, making those relationships with the suppliers and sort of giving them the vision I had for our space. Because every space, every bar, restaurant is different depending on their theme and what their focus is. And that particular way of introducing people to products that had gin at the time wasn't working for us. Mm-hmm. You know, there wasn't a lot of, you know, they come in, try and push a lot of product on us, and then the product would sit. And if product sits, guess what? Don't make any money. Mm-hmm. Don't make any money. Nobody gets paid. Bills don't get paid. It's a whole trickle effect. So I like to keep the lights on. So I had to, you know, like,
oh, definitely.
Here's what I want to do in this space. With some of these brands that you all are bringing our way. And, you know, the more I did that and the more those things were successful, it sort of opened that door to the other side of suppliers and people like, oh, you know, what's going on with this guy? And, oh, you know, brands would talk to the local distribution team. We're looking for somebody. And then, you know, I got referred to Atlantico and it just sort of grew from there.
Dang.
All right. That's dope.
I know. But it's like you were, it was made for you and you didn't even know it.
I was about to say, you didn't know what the direction was, but you knew what you were doing when you walked in there that day.
Yeah. Exactly. It just kind of fell in your lap and you were great at it.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do events. That's what I was really there for. I wanted to be able to do events and provide experiences for people and sort of the rest, you know, just out of the nature of the circumstances with his general manager leaving. There was a whole lot of other things that I ended up learning in that process and being involved more in the day to day. So, it just, you know, it took me in an entirely different direction. But also at the same time, I was like, wow, this is an entire career or opportunity for a career that, you know, nobody talks to you about. And there's so many careers out there like that, that are really unique and exciting and have a lot of growth potential. But then just beyond the growth potential, a lot of opportunity to see more of the world in general. I mean, I said I worked with several brands, and through working with those brands, I've had opportunities to travel to various places in the world.
Any of the places,
learn other things.
Did you take those pictures on your background?
Yeah, so
that's a lot of places. Right, that's a lot of places. Okay,
it's true, they all couldn't fit. It's so crazy. So yeah, the pictures in the background, those are all pictures that I took, and I was able to find a framing company that they do these metal frame or metal, like thin metal pictures that they can print your picture on this metal, thin piece of metal. And then they also do sort of like canvas artwork. They take your picture, put it on canvas, and turn it into that. So half of them are metal, half of them are canvas art style. And then, of course, I had the letters printed and put them on the wall. And like I said, that's a few dope. Of the places. But this wall, when I moved here, the wall, which I should have checked before, I had this whole vision. I walked in and I started, you lay out your place when you get to the place. Yeah. I'm going to put this here. And the wall, because there's another building on the other side, it's a concrete wall. So you need a different kind of drill bit on drywall. So it was a challenging task to get them up there. And so once I got to the number that are there now, I was like, I feel like I have succeeded. So I'm just going to stop because this is why I was giving
keep
me
my
a hard
pictures
time.
On the phone.
Yeah, you know what? I've done great. This is as far as we're going to go. But yeah, I was just telling Adrian, like you said, you wanted to do events and all that other stuff. Going back a little bit to when you think about branding and marketing, when I think of John P, I don't think of just, hey, I'm trying to sell you.
Like, I work at this place.
Yeah, I'm trying to sell you a product, or, hey, let's just do something cool. Like, you really encompass the whole lifestyle to where you make it a full experience. And you've always done that, for us. Like, anything you have going on or any type of, liquor brand or food or restaurant that you put out there, oh, we're going to try it because that is definitely good. You want to be a part of the John P lifestyle regardless of what the brand is. And you do that really, really, really well.
Oh, thank you.
Really well.
I mean, I think, like I said to my earlier point, I think it's about being able to connect with people. And I started to think about that more when I became general manager at Gin. I said, you have a lot of people, they come and they present a lot of different products to you, which is cool because that's their job. But sometimes people will come in and they, they're pushing something on you that doesn't fit your space, which means that you guys don't have a relationship. You don't have a rapport. Right. And what's comfortable and what works for me is getting to know people. I need to, and having them get to know me, we may not be a good fit in whatever the situation is, or what I'm presenting to you may not be good for what you need at the moment or what you're looking for. And the only way to learn that is to have conversations, to interact with one another, and to even decide if we want to do some type of business or anything together. And once we have that kind of rapport, in my opinion, it makes it a lot easier to conduct business at that point.
Relationships are everything. Relationships
I'm no longer the sales guy or the marketing guy coming here trying to shove something down my throat. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's John. That's cool. I know about that. Thanks for sharing that. It becomes natural versus, I got to make these numbers. I need you to get X number of cases. I need you guys to do this, that. Like, all those things will come, And if you treat people a certain way, those things will happen for you.
That's it.
In my opinion.
That's it. We saw a change, with, the whole inclusion movement, with the whole George Floyd thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we know that there is power in the black dollar. And people have been, you know, saying that for a long time, but not really living it. You know, we're all guilty of it. We are known for, you know, a few things. We make liquor very cool. We make sneakers cool. And we make cars cool. It's a part of our culture and music, dances, all those things. And how important is it to you that we have representation, you know, amongst these brands across the board?
I like that question.
Extremely important. Extremely important. And I think at the very core of that is, you know, being able to see someone that looks like you, that has a similar background, that has similar experiences, to know that that's possible, to know that this is, you know, like I said before, like I didn't even know that something like this was even a career path, right? Mm-hmm. So I was ignorant to that. And, you know, and I think it's, you know, one of my, one of the experiences I had when I first started working for Atlantico was I had gone to a liquor store and the buyer refused to speak to me. They wouldn't interact with me. They wouldn't talk to me because they didn't believe that I actually represented the brand. Right. And a part of that was because they had never seen, you know, an African-American in that role, you know, so it was, that was foreign concept to them. And so it wasn't normal, right? And people react, tend to react adversely to things that aren't comfortable for them, that aren't normal for them. And so, you know, including more people, one, in one way, it inspires hope, right? It lets you know that you can achieve certain things, that things aren't out of your reach. But also, it brings more people to the table that can have, you know, a conversation that isn't lopsided or from one perspective. Right? And you need that, right? Because there's different ways to reach various audiences.
That's true.
And the only way to know that is to have people of different audiences, different backgrounds, different ethnicities participate in the process of building something. So it's super important. And, you know, again, like I said, like for me, I think about that with every job that I've had. And, you know, we're few and far in between. And so there's a lot of, it can have a lot of pressure, you know, or one can create a lot of pressure for themselves, you know, because you, you feel like not only do you represent yourself, but you're representing anyone that may come behind you and whether or not they're going to get an opportunity based on your performance. And so it makes a huge difference because, you know, like I when I get ready to transition to something else, I don't want anyone or any brand to feel like, oh, you know, we can't hire another African-American or whatever the case may be because of, you know, whatever happened transpired with me. So it's something that I'm super conscious of, but I think it's very important. And I think, you know, it's people should want that, you know, especially if part of the majority of your base isn't represented in your company culture, it's something to evaluate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
May I ask you, for the companies that you have worked with already, did you see that being a necessity for them, or has it transitioned over the years? Like, is it something that you almost had to introduce, or was it a new concept? Or, you know, with the brands that you've worked with previously or the one that you do now?
I think for the brands that I've worked with, I think it's across the board. I think some are mindful of it. And I think that others have been, I wouldn't say not mindful of it, but really more so just, you know, this is how we've been doing business.
It wasn't a focus.
You know, so, it wasn't a focus. It wasn't a thing. And so, you know, now because of all the you know, dominoes that fell in 2020, mm-hmm. right, to make equality more of a focus and providing opportunities for underserved communities, et cetera, like, it's a huge highlight. And that's phenomenal, mm-hmm. right? But it's a lot different, you know. A lot of times, if you want to use like a sports analogy, winning either solves or masks everything, right? So mm-hmm. when business is great, there are a lot of things you're probably not focused on or not thinking about because that's it's true. Like, oh, we're doing great. And then things when things aren't so great, you know, that veil gets pulled back, mm-hmm. and because people are trying to figure out, you know, like why aren't the numbers this way? Why isn't this? Why isn't that? So more things become exposed. And as more things become exposed, people who are solution-oriented and want to build a better future, they think about those things and they start to make decisions, you know, that take them in a better direction. And I think all the brands are at different stages of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I was talking to Adrian and you do, and, you know, I asked the question, I said, is it important for us to have representation in all brands, right? Like, what if we don't use this brand? What if we don't drink that water? Like, why do we have to have representation? And you just said, well, why did you start drinking Kettle One? I said, because John Peterson said drink Kettle One. He said, there you go. But I can honestly say I've changed the vodka in our household.
Nice.
Like, I've
nice,
changed
nice.
The vodka in our household. So we love botanicals, and we don't just get like one bottle. We get all of them. So you have, literally, you know, like you have the grapefruit, you have the cucumber, and then you have the peach right?
Yeah, peach, orange, blossom.
Yeah,
that means you guys are on brand. See, like if you guys were a liquor store or a bar or a restaurant right now, you guys be perfect for me. You guys be the perfect account because you have full distribution of our Kettle One.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and
we got the regular, the 750, the liter. We have
exactly. And then you know, my mom was drinking. I don't know what she was drinking. But the last time I took her to the liquor store, I said, well, why? You want to try something different? And she said, yeah, sure. I said, this is smoother and you won't have a headache. I promise you. And she does. She has not switched back from the regular Kettle One yet. So, and my dad is a Grey Goose guy. Kettle One now.
Boom, boom, for the transition, for the switchover.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of that, as much as I am flattered by the credit, I think a lot of that, though, comes from, you know, again, consumers, one, taking more of an interest in what they consume, but also more of the education that brands put out about the products that they're producing, right?
True.
And, you know, this trend for people to be, you know, more health conscious, mm-hmm. more fit, et cetera. And I mean, when I say fit, I'm not necessarily just referring to physically fit, but financially fit, mm-hmm. you know, all of these things.
Oh, the quality and the price. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like A1, I promise you A1. And I'm not just saying that, like how smooth it is and the price, it doesn't break your pocket.
Yeah,
and the quality of the vodka is just A1.
Well, the Noletz family, they have over 300 years of distilling history, distilling know-how. They also make Noletz gin. And so, you know, see? Ooh.
That's
so
the green bottle that we had.
Oh.
We had that too.
Yeah. We finished that in the day.
Yeah. So they've had lots of experience working with botanical. And so creating Kettle One Botanicals was the evolution of their distilling know-how and knowledge. Mm. And I think that's also speaks volume for a family and a company that's mm-hmm. been around that long and the pride they take in what they produce. So, you know, that's passed down generation after generation.
Yeah.
So, you know, all those things are important. And, you know, I think about that in my role. I think about that in other products outside of the spirits industry that I purchase, you know, and the opportunity that they've had to be around for so long. And then I think about, you know, where we are now, just in general in our communities, working to build those same sort of legacies so that, you know, our great-great-grandchildren can want to, you know, my grandmother, my grandfather started this, you know, 300 years ago, 400 years ago. You know, because that builds a legacy, but that's also, it also builds wealth. And it, and it changes the trajectory of families.
Absolutely.
I have, this may be an ignorant question. Is there a difference between liquor and spirits?
It's not ignorant, because
there's no different.
It just sounds better, I think.
Because they have like liquor, wine, and spirits. I'm like, what's the spirit?
It's within.
I'm like, what's going on?
Spirit.
Okay, then maybe there was some section of the store I didn't get to see all the time.
Or they have like spirits and wine, right?
Yeah. So your wine and beer, they're all going to be at a lower proof. So, you know, the vast majority of your spirits are going to be, you know, 80 proof or 40% ABV. And then if you have any wines or beers, you know, you're coming in, you know, it's less than 15%, give or take, you know, and then, so it's a lower proof. And so they try and separate that sort of terminology so that people understand that one packs a little bit more alcohol than the other.
But I will say this. So we're now all trying to get used to this, like, virtual learning, you know, working from home, all that stuff. And I am not a wine drinker. Never have been. But that botanicals, I can drink botanicals and get up and teach the next day.
And you know, the best thing about it is, as a spritz, which is what I have now, our kettle botanical spritz, which is just the botanical, if you don't have one of the spritz cans, but you can just take the botanical itself, add soda to it, and you're looking at 73 calories, which is less calories than a glass of white wine. You have zero sugar, zero carbs.
Oh, look at me watching my figure.
Look at you soccer moms out there fit and waking up teaching your kids and still working out the next day. I know that's right. Didn't even have to take Advil the night before.
And you know what else I noticed too? That it smell like
and flavorful. Heavy.
It really is. Light, refreshing, and flavorful.
Because my mom put me on.
What?
To botanicals.
Oh, the...
Yeah. She was watching commercials in Miami. It was like, oh, this feels like a thing.
Your mom is so bougie. She would do that.
Yeah,
she's like,
seriously.
I'm having a botanical spritzer.
I'm serious. That's exactly what it was.
Are you serious?
It was the botanicals, grapefruit, and Perrier. The grapefruit Perrier. I'm telling you, that's why I got the recipe from.
Oh, we do.
Yes.
We do have that. We went the whole, we took it to the office.
Yeah.
Then we took the botanicals and got created all the, yeah, with roses and stuff. Just to have a meeting.
So I have a question
about... That sounds like a really good meeting.
It was.
It was amazing.
Very productive.
About branding spirits and stuff like that. So when it comes to pushing new products, what are the differences that you notice? Because I'm sure we've all had to sell something in our lives. For me, it's more so been retail, like clothing and stuff like that. And I can see what pushes people to buy certain things in that realm. But what is it about this industry that differs as far as branding goes from selling other products?
I'm not going to say that it's very different. I mean, especially with this day and age, you're looking at, you know, most people gravitate towards a brand that has a really good story, right? You know, you want to, like, how long has this brand been in existence, you know, or where do they source their materials to make their product? Like, what is the company culture? How does that tie into the story? So you have that piece of it, you know. And then, obviously, you have the quality, right? Because you can have a great story, but the quality has to be there. People gravitate towards brands and products that, you know, have great quality, have high quality. then you also have, you know, a lot of, quote, influencer or celebrity endorsements, right? Mm. Trying to push people based on who they want to mimic themselves or mimic their lifestyle after, or, you know, whatever their affinity to that influencer or that celebrity, whatever draws them to them, you know. And if this person, influencer or celebrity, you know, is endorsing a brand or product, you know, then you're going to get, you know, some consumers to jump on board because of that. So, you know, there's a lot of different lanes, and I think all products fall within, you know, one or more of those lanes. And so, you know, in terms of one product differentiating itself from another product is, you know, really taking a look at the market data. You know, like right now, tequila's through the roof. You know, so you
that
see,
is true.
You see,
like, Azul and Don Julio were going crazy this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're starting to see other celebrities attach themselves to tequilas or mezcal. You know, so that's booming right now. So you have that, and so each of those brands, because they're new, right? Unless they attach themselves to a company or a house that has, quote, years or longevity in the business, right? They have to create a story, or not, I shouldn't create, but they have to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
And some do just create a story, but that's a whole nother story. And, you know, get people to
buy into it.
You know, buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then also at the same time, we said that the quality has to be there. And, sure. You know, it's going to reach people at different levels, right? Because I think we're all, our journey as consumers varies with maturity, income, age, who we're around, et cetera.
Yeah.
Right? So that's going to, all those factors are going to dictate what you buy, what you consume to a certain level, you know, consciously or subconsciously. And so, you know, the brands that do it well, they take all of these factors into consideration, right? And they hone in on specific areas of the markets or a specific niche in the market and go after that. You know, and perfect example is with the botanicals. You know, we want people who are, again, it's alcohol is not a health product.
Right.
But we want people to understand that there are other options at a lower ABV that, again, don't have carbs. You know, we're using non-GMO wheat to produce our product. Things like that. Those little things, those little sort of intangibles to get people to say, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense for my lifestyle, or that makes sense for my diet, whatever, that, you know, I'm going to try that particular product. So, you know, it's one of those things. And, you know, the fun thing about it is a lot of times it's, you know, throwing stuff up against the wall and seeing what sticks with, you know, on some things. Because you can do a lot of market research and a lot of data. And then for whatever reason, something that, you know, people think is going to be the next best thing doesn't become that.
Yeah.
And then things that people, you know, or products that become these crazy successes or whatever, and you're like, What? How does that happen? And you just never know, you know, how something is or isn't that going to catch on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Trends are a crazy thing, because that tequila wave, I did not see that coming. But seriously, and now that I think about it, because I like brown. I'm a brown, downtown brown kind of girl. But recently, I can honestly say, everybody, tequila me, please. You're like, where did this come from? And why do y'all want to be so intoxicated?
It came from Taco Tuesday.
But $2 Tuesdays? Taco Tuesday.
Maybe.
I guess. But it's so interesting. I never really thought about the trends that happen in other industries besides the ones that I've paid attention to. Mm. Like, I didn't think those were things. Like I was just telling V, like, you walk into Total Wine and you're like, what? how many brands? Like, how many versions of this are there? Like, you don't know, but then somebody will come in so confidently and grab a bottle of something you've never heard of before. And you're like, whoa, what is that? Like, what are you doing? And why do you know about that? And I don't. You know, and then they're telling you, I've been drinking this for years and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to see. Like, in other places, like I said, I'm going to keep referring to the fashion because you can go in and see why somebody's wearing it. There's a trend or they're following.
It was on the runway last week.
Yeah, it was a revamped trend from a couple of years ago that they're bringing back out. Like, it makes sense. Maybe
they wore it on Real Housewives.
Yeah, like, I've been studying. But when it comes to alcoholic beverages, it's something when you look at it, you can't taste it yet. You know? You can't really... Like, when you see clothing, you can see yourself in it almost, or imagine how it will fit, so.
Oh, speaking of which, I think I was watching Real Housewives of New York, and they had botanicals on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But after I knew about it. And I feel like they were watching us, and they were like, oh,
you know, that's what they like
if
to do.
They drink it, then we should too. And I was like, you know. But yeah, I saw it on there. And of course they tried to like blur it out. But that flowery bottle with the grapefruit on it, you know that from anywhere, which is also genius.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The packaging is great. And as I showed you all the ready to our botanical spritz can.
Mm-hmm.
See the packaging on that, you know, it stands out.
It definitely does.
Just a lot of thought put into it, you know, how it's going to stand out on the shelf, you know, what's going to get people's eyes to gravitate towards it. And then also just making sure people know some of the simple things like, you know, no sugar, no carbs, 73 calories, less calories than a glass of white wine. All those things that are going to resonate with someone. And then, like I said, there's three botanicals that we offer. And so, again, there's something that we believe is for everyone who likes to partake in a great beverage.
Absolutely. And I am an advocate for all the moms. I'm just saying.
She said everybody drink.
I am an advocate for all the moms. And if you don't like wine, or if you do like wine, just try something new. I promise you, you will not be upset. Because I'm not upset. I haven't been yet. So, botanicals.
Look at you. She should be on a commercial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I should. I should be on a commercial. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
But real quick, anybody who's trying to get into the branding, marketing, you know, world, whether it's spirits, food and beverage, clothing.
It doesn't want to be a brand ambassador because that's the only job I feel like I ever see.
A brand ambassador?
Yeah, for like spirit and alcohol brands.
True. Like if they really want to build a career, what advice would you give them?
I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to get to any of these roles or position, you know, but I think it really just starts with, you know, educating yourself on the food and beverage industry in general, you know, understanding, you know, what the three-tier system is, and then, you know, understanding on off-premise, all these terms, you know, making sure that you understand the various terms, making sure that you understand sales rep, to buyer relationships, distributors to supplier relationships, understanding those things. And then also understanding that, you know, we call it programming, right? So once somebody picks up a couple of cases of Kettle One, you know, how do we help them move this out the door? Because obviously we want them to reorder at some point. And so we call it programming, and programming falls under, you know, events, menu features, things like that, that are going to, you know, put the brand in front of their consumers so that their consumers can purchase it. And then in turn, you know, the more they sell, hopefully the more that they buy. So, you know, my path was, you know, for me was learning about the restaurant itself so that I could better understand what a buyer needed. And now that once I understood what buyers were looking for and the things that they needed, the type of support that they needed, right? Then on the supplier side, it, it helped me be able to really bridge that gap and have that conversation for things that made sense to be able to scale a program for growth for that particular account or region. And so, you know, it's about continuing to educate oneself on those different things. And then just, you know, if you got to get affiliated somehow. I'm not saying everyone needs to go work at a restaurant or a bar. I mean, because there's jobs at the distributor level. There's entry-level jobs on the supplier side. And you just need to get your foot in the door. And then once you get your foot in the door, become a sponge. You know, how does this work? Why do we do this way? You know, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's in whatever it is, not just the spirits industry. I think there are a lot of people who want to be in, quote, you know, sports management. You know, I see a lot of agents and representing or talent management, I should say, you know, actors, actresses. You know, people want to be affiliated with those things. And you have to get your foot in the door and sort of learn the ins and outs. How those things work, and kind of go from there.
Yeah. And then one more question for artists or influencers and that want to connect with these brands. What advice do you give them? Because, you know, we see it a lot now. Everybody has an affiliate link. Everybody is trying to just throw these products out there, and I'm not convinced that they really live the lifestyle of that brand. Like I said, we've changed our liquor for the podcast to Kettle One, you know, and it had a lot to do with you, obviously, because we have a relationship. But we actually like it. Yeah. So we drink it. You know, we put it in our house. We've told our other family members about it. But, like, really, these influencers that want to connect with brands that they love, what advice would you give them?
Well, you know, my advice to anyone is it's all business, right? On a certain, you know, just it's business. And when you go to conduct business, right, treat it, or if you even go to get a job, you know, would you walk into a job interview not having done your research for that, you know, who's interviewing you, what this company is about, you know? So before you, you know, obviously social media has glamorized things, and it's super skewed because you think, oh, you know, put this product on my Twitter, my Instagram, and, you know, I get 1,000 likes, they need to cut me a check. but, you know, that's not really, it's not necessarily realistic if you haven't created return on investment for the brand, right? It's a give and take. Because the brand has a Twitter, the brand has a social media channel,
so
the brand
what do they has, need you
especially
for?
Larger brands,
amen.
They have access to celebrities, et cetera, that, you know, are probably far larger than that particular individual, you know, give or take, whoever that is. And so, you know, you have to, again, research the brand, examine the brand, and think about, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you gotta do something super, you know, unique and different and come up with something new. And that's going to be few and far in between, right? At the end of the day, somebody's putting on an event. There's like a million award shows. There's a million different, you know, clubs, et cetera, parties, whatever you want to call it, right? So, will there be a few people that come up with something that's super unique that a brand just can't turn down or pass up? Sure, but that's not going to be the case the majority of the time. Yeah. I think what you have to do is create a situation that, again, is mutually beneficial. You're able to show how the brand is going to get return on their investment. And be efficient and very professional about what it is that you do, you know, because, again, you can throw an event, you know, I can throw a dinner party, somebody else can throw a dinner party, but there's a complete difference between, you know, you as a, to the brand, because at that point you're treating the brand like a client, like,
yeah.
You know, brand is looking for things from me. I'm not returning the calls, or I'm not executing on what I said in the contract. But then somebody else who's literally doing just another dinner party or whatever it is, and you know, they're diligent about calling back. Mm-hmm. They're providing the brand with information on the people that are going to be there and why this brand is going to connect with them and how the, you know, this person, these guests own XYZ in such city, and you know, this, because they came here, they ended up buying XYZ cases. So, you know, you have to provide value for the brand. And in providing value for the brand, you know, you give yourself an opportunity to further negotiate and leverage what you do.
You know? Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Y'all hear it, people. Y'all need some value.
Facts.
Y'all need some value.
Read a book. Everybody do some research. People,
like, sponsor me. Like, right. Have some value. I like that.
Man, thank you so much. I really,
thank you all for having
we
me.
Really appreciate this.
Seriously. Well, I look forward to continue to grow this relationship and come back and you know, in the next couple of weeks or something, let's get into some cocktails. Let's, you know, get into some.
Cheers. Yes. Fun look, stuff. Look at what we got.
Cheers.
We got our little mixer thing.
Oh, our placemats.
Yeah. So what you need boom, boom. Is, and we're going to come back and you're going to tell us exactly how to make each one of these.
No, I know how to make the mule though. No. Because that's probably my favorite. A mule? if
we're
it's going to be.
All of them.
Yep. If it's going to be anything, the mule. Okay.
What your mule got
with
in
the
it?
The Gosling. Oh, don't do me. We got secret ingredients.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Secret ingredients.
That is
fun. we're gonna go into all of those. So I'm looking forward to coming back and presenting and doing those cocktails for you all for the audience and whatnot. And I'm sure we got some other cool things. We won't drop everything on them now.
We won't tell them.
Stay tuned.
This is
stay tuned. Come back. Check us out. Yeah.
This is just the intro.
I feel like I want to rap. Like, oh, this gosh. Is just an intro. But, you know, I'll wait. Don't want to get at people too much, you know.
Get them too
but thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, and as always, if you need anything from us, just let us know.
Cool, for sure. Much love. And, if anybody in the audience has questions, too, they can... they can reach out, get me up on IG.
I was just going to say, let us know where you at.
At Kettle1_JP. That is my handle on IG, Kettle1, and that's KETEL, 1 spelled out ONE_JP. They can hit me up ask some questions and find out more about Kettle1. And if you're there in the D.C., Maryland area, I'm certainly happy to suggest and recommend some amazing places they can go have a great Kettle One cocktail or Kettle One botanical cocktail. And, you know,
we're going to take a trip home soon.
You guys got to tell them where to find you all, too, because I told some people.
Oh.
Ooh.
We over there, and over there. Nah.
She's really trying to rap over here.
I know. I've been trying to rap all day. But at a podcast about everywhere. At a podcast about everywhere, or you can just type in APAN podcast, APAN podcast. We try to make it as simple and as easy as possible because if you like me, I cannot spell. Look at my notes, half of the words are spelled wrong.
That's the truth.
But hey, I can read them.
APAN podcast, a podcast about, you said Kettle1_JP.
Yep.
Follow us.
Kettle is with one T.
This is not the tea kettle, people.
Right.
Right.
That's what we need to let you know. Not the tea kettle. KETEL. Okay. That's all.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And we will see you very, very soon.
Awesome. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'm trying to go to the places on the wall. You seen that?
What? Right.
He had the Cognac Reason of France. He was in Nassau, Bahamas, because they got barrels down there, too. I seen the little Nassau, and he was everywhere. I know where all the barrels are. Jesus. JP, I'm coming for your team. I'm about to take all y'all money.
Oh, I show it black all the time because you can't see this. Can you see this? No.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
You know what I hate about tying stuff around my waist and it raises up? He's like, dang, it's supposed to sit under the fupa.
Excuse me. Is this right here?
I'm about to go get a job at the Spirit.
Where's she?
Because I still want to work for Hennessy. Never stop, never settle.
No, we're not working for Hennessy. We're working for...
No, we can have the wars. White versus black.
We're trying to get away from race wars.
That ain't race. It's
it
brown.
Is. You racist.
Brown and clear. They clear.
Why Thomas teacher tell... She said, no, we're not white. I'm peach. I said, I know that's right.